Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, welcome to another comic episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Hubbardon, and who's in A Tale of Two Cities with me tonight?
Temporary Ghostbuster Red Fox.
And welcome. And we are here to talk about a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic in Ghostbusters.
Because not sure it's the team up anybody asked for, but the team up that I'm down for. So
I had absolutely no interest in reading this at first. I like Ghostbusters a lot, but I'm like, I don't care about a Ghostbusters comic. But this is canon to the main series.
It sure the hell is.
And I remember you telling me that a long time ago when we were getting to this one, and I was like, what? I'm like, that's weird. I mean, IDW owns both. That's why it's canon.
Right, yeah. as much as we all would love to see Power Rangers and Turtles be canon or Batman and Turtles, I mean, this is what we get. Fine, I'll take it.
Yeah, because I mean, there's even more crossovers than that coming.
Yep.
There's a Street Fighter crossover coming this year in 2023, and then there's a Stranger Things Turtles crossover coming in 2023.
Yep, and they also, I think, just very recently did Soggy Yojimbo again.
Okay. Isn't Yojimbo, like, something to do with the creator of Turtles?
No, so he's a Japanese manga artist from way back, like when Turtles were doing their thing, and they teamed up. It might have been Mirage. I think it was Mirage they teamed up for the first time, but definitely during the Archie era and beyond. So they have a pretty long history together.
Okay, and I know they had a figure of him in the old,
actually,
in the old series.
You know what? It is Mirage, because I slightly remember it. Not having like flashbacks right now.
I had to figure it out as a kid. His hair probably.
I thought Yojimbo was cool as hell as a kid. I think it's a really nice design.
I like Yojimbo too, just not the one you're talking about. The one I like, you had to pay money to, and he was a summon in FF10.
And he had a little dog. Did you remember?
Damn, that? I really want to play FF10.
Go for it. It's still great. Slow. Like, the pace is slow, but it's still a great game.
Yeah, well, someday. I'm slowly playing Final Fantasy games. Slowly. So, okay. Those are hard for me to do because they're so long.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not new. But that's not why we're here. We're here for TMNT and Ghostbusters, which came out in, what year was this? I just had it pulled up. Normally, I don't always say the year for this, but this one I do want to mention, if I can figure that out. 2014. No, wait, that's when they really, yeah, 2014. This came out in October 2014. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes place right after the last arc, which is New Mutant Order. And then the next arc we'll be reading about is Attack on Technodrome, because this takes place in between there for our timeline guide that we're following. But yeah, this was something that I just didn't think, I had no interest about. Like, when I first opened the book and I'm looking at it, I really like how it has a little thing where it shows you who the Ghostbuster characters are, like a little, like, one-sentence bio as a sentence for the Turtles 2 and all those characters. So, you know, it gets you caught up in case you didn't know.
It's pretty cool. It's not something we traditionally see in a Turtles comic, so for us to get that, I mean, and a lot of people might not know who any of these characters are, especially anything beyond the Ghostbusters themselves, like the assistants and secretary or whatnot.
I mean, one of them, like Janine, I mean, she's from the movies, but Kylie Griffin, she's not. She's completely a brand new character, I'm assuming, to the comics or maybe the cartoons, but she wasn't in the movies. I can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know who she is. And fun fact, the guy who wrote this, Eric Birmingham, I have actually met him once in my life. In Minnesota, he was at a random comic book store, like, God, 7-8 years ago, and me and Tiff started dating. I took her to a comic store because they had a signing. I wanted to go get my book signed, and then there was also they had the Minnesota Ghostbusters, which are guys that just dress up in Ghostbusters suits that are out there, and I got a picture with them. And I remember this guy was sitting there signing International Ghostbusters number 1, which I've never read, but I have a signed copy of it now. So
what was the guy's name?
So I met the guy once. I thought that was Eric Burnham.
Oh, okay. I see. So he's just...
How did he ever exist or anything about him?
Ghostbusters writer?
Yeah. And he also wrote Secret History of the Foot, which we never mentioned that he wrote, but yes.
Oh, nice. Well, that guy is not a bad writer.
So I don't always mention the writers for this, because it's usually the same guys, for the most part, for the main
Tom
stuff.
Waltz is heavily involved in a lot of this, like, pre-Vengeance stuff, and even some after that.
God, I can't wait. So I didn't read this twice. I read it almost twice. I read it once, and then I read it the second time, but I didn't read issue 4 because I was too tired last night.
I am very surprised.
Yeah, that was just why I've been reading Star Wars and other stuff. I'm kind of getting a little burned out, I think, on Turtles. That's why we're going to take a little bit of break after we get Vengeance. Or I'm just, so anticipated on Vengeance that that's it too. I can't tell.
Well, you must not be getting burned out if all you can think of is Vengeance. I just think you want to get to the finale and see how this all comes to a head.
Yeah. Plus, I'm really excited for Attack on Technodrome also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think a problem for this was that it was it's stuck in the way of two arcs that I want to read. Like, one of my issues with Turtles is that there's so many miniseries, and yes, the miniseries make perfect sense. They fit in the story great. Like, they're most of them are, like, this is, in my opinion, this is a good book and necessary. We'll get more into that later. But it's just, I don't want this right now. I want to get to Vengeance. So I think that was part of my problem.
Mm.
Why I didn't read this twice, or why it took me a little bit to read it in the first place.
Right. Well, try to enjoy the ride until it gets there. It's not a bad ride, as you can see.
They're still great books. It's just like that anticipation is building. We're so fucking close. Okay, so the way this starts off, I think, is also interesting because it starts off about the Turtles. It doesn't even start off with the Ghostbusters. The first page, which again, I don't know if this is going to be in the main arc, but this feels to me is so key, where it says, thousands of years ago, powerful immortals ruled the Earth. Then they mysteriously disappeared. And then you see Kitsune, you see the Rat King, and you see a bull devil that you've never seen before.
So this is interesting. I wanted to speak on this here because they drop a lot of shit on you here in a way that is going to be constant throughout the series. So, and this is like a side story, so to speak. And they're dropping it right here, this big-ass arc.
Yeah, because this is, I mean, we met two of these characters before, and we know what Kitsune's working with Shredder. We know the Rat King is just kind of involved. Like, this really talks about the game they're playing. Like, this has to be in the main series, too. I'm assuming something. I hope.
So, what's very interesting to me, now that I'm much further in the series, is that they only show three family members. I'm wondering if at this time, that's all they really planned for. And then it just decided, hey, let's add this. Because you don't know yet, but you'll see there's more family members that are part of this.
Okay. I was kind of bummed there was only three. That makes more sense that there should be a way more.
Well, there
more
you
than
go.
Three.
So something to look forward to. But it shows these three, and they focus solely on these three. It's kind of cool that they show Chiyu this way in this comic. I think they did a good job with him in here. We'll get more into that. But what I'm more disappointed in, that they show him so prominently, not only in this comic, but like in this arc. And then after that, honestly, they don't touch on him much, at least to the point that I'm at.
Oh, that's weird. I figured he'd be a bigger character as from what I saw in here.
Yeah, they really don't. And it's possible. Again, like they say it at the end, like, oh, he'll be back or whatever. So I don't remember what happens in part two necessarily to really see where that goes again. But he does not have a huge role going forward.
Okay, that's interesting. That's not at all what I expect.
That's not at all how the writers typically treat characters either. Like, if they are brought up and they're a big deal, usually they drag them out until they have a finish.
Yeah.
If they have a finish at all. So.
Okay. You got my interest, though. That's for sure. But again, this book has always had my interest. All right. And it's just such a cool page. Like, I was like, man, this is like, this feels so needed to read, you know, Turtles. And I'm feeling like this is going to play such a bigger part as we progress.
And it will. This, you have no idea how much this is going to evolve. So I'll let you see as we go.
Oh, I'm well aware of that fact. I know I have no idea what's coming, and I'm okay with that. I'm just enjoying the ride so much. So that's completely fine. Okay. And then the next page of this is where you see Kitsune is essentially praying to a demon in quotations, and it's the portal that Krang comes through. And then her brother, Chiyu, shows up and throws a fit. Like, oh, you're working with demons! I thought that was kind of cool. It kind of talks about, like, the game more. Because you don't know much about the game that they're playing. The Rat King just mentions it a little bit. And this is really your first experience. And again, you get to see Krang, you know, at the time in Feudal Japan. He's like, well, did you get the land for me that I want? I'm assuming that might be the island, or he was taking over other places over time.
Right, yeah. I kind of thought of that, too. Immediately, I thought of the island. But it could be anything at this point. You got to think that in this time period, there was a lot more open land for him to kind of conquer. So, they don't really pinpoint it.
No, but it gives you more of what was going on between them that you didn't see in Secret History of the Foot. You know, you get a little bit more backstory, which is always nice. And then you get to see kind of what happens to him because she gets mad at him because he tries to attack her. She throws him into the portal that Krang came out of. And I guess this is where Krang, like, yeah, he's in limbo now. So he won't be bothering anybody.
And he's in limbo for quite some time.
Hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting where Krang's like, yeah, anyone that goes through that isn't me, yeah, they won't get anywhere. Like, their DNA has to match.
So the thing about their partnership here with Kitsune, Krang is that you finally get to see more of a beneficial relationship, a mutual beneficial relationship between the two. Because before, it was a lot of Krang giving Kitsune things she needs, but now she's finally providing him with things, or at least promised things. So Krang here is still trying, even at this point, hundreds of years in the past, still trying to come up with a solution for his race dying off.
Because I'm wondering if at this point they've already ran away yet, or he was just up to getting plans for it.
I think they're just getting plans for it because it looks like he's still on Utramanon. How do you say it?
I think that's good enough. I mean, because he has the old armor still.
So he's it's very possibly still on his home planet. They just know that it's almost like Krypton when the scientists knew it was going to explode or whatever was going to happen. Krang, his scientists let him know, hey, this planet is dying. He now is trying to race against time to find a solution for his people.
That makes sense. It's cool to see. I mean, and again, there's so much more story that, like, I just can't get over how much stuff they cram in these miniseries that, like, if you didn't read these, you're missing out.
You really are missing out. I mean, it's you can do without it if you really have to, but it would suck to miss out on some of this stuff.
And that's just probably how comic books are in general, that, you know, they just have a lot. I mean, I don't really follow. This is the first time I really followed a run in a while. Well, ever. I've never followed a run like this before, so. So I'm just not used to that, how everything is all kind of, you know, cut off in different ways.
Mm-hmm. It's not fun. That's one thing comics do that I'm not the biggest fan of, is when you got to jump from series to series to kind of get one full coherent story. But that's just how they sell more comics, keep things interesting, keep it new, so it's not going to change.
I know. I'm unfortunately aware
of that. I don't want to accept it, but I do.
Yeah, and I think I have for the most part. I mean, I have to at this point. And then it kicks into the Turtles, where the Turtles are getting ready to test out the transporter. And there's a funny joke here where Casey makes a joke about, you know, I don't know if it works. And they throw an apple in there and have the apple teleport behind him, so it hits him in the back of the head. I thought that was funny. Just little things.
Harold being the smartass as he is, the grumpy old smartass, he's not going to have anybody show him up or doubt his intelligence.
And I do like how it's all that they hit the wrong switch. Because, like, they go in the teleport, they're supposed to teleport back to the headquarters, but because Harold is trying to swat a fly, which made me laugh, I thought of Baxter, he hits a button that says, do not touch.
Oh, yeah, and then they even bring it up in the comic. Casey right here. Dude, I've seen this movie before, and doesn't end good.
It's just funny. Like, you know, it's a cool little thing, and I'm assuming when they go to Technodrome next arc we're going to be reading is going to be involving the teleporter finally.
Well, that's the whole point of this. It's a big build-up. This teleporter has had more character development than those French Sabato guys.
We never get away from making fun of them.
Never.
I can't even remember their name.
Sabate.
Okay, that's how forgettable they were. Fucking bastards. Mm-hmm. And then after you see that, you see they're trying to teleport to Splinter, you know, where Splinter is. And he's like, oh, is someone there? Huh, perhaps the television has been left on again. And then that's it. And then it cuts to the Ghostbusters that you see for the first time. And to me, it was a little jarring because I haven't read any Ghostbuster comics. So I just, the art, you know, the art is different. It's fine. The art's fine. It's just that for the Ghostbusters, for me, it's very much of the actors. And yeah, they do look like the actors, but I was just a little bit of this kind. It was just a little jarring at first.
It is. And I think it's meant to be, right? I mean, yeah, it's cool because a different art style for a different dimension totally makes sense. The art style is not the prettiest. It's not the best. And it's not something we're used to. But for the purpose of just being in another dimension, I had learned to accept it as we went.
I didn't hate it. It wasn't as bad as Frog April in Secret History of the Foot. So.
Oh, yeah. You're not wrong there.
No, the art's fine for the drawings of them. I mean, they have their lips are a little bit more accented than what I'm used to in the Turtles books, but everything's fine. Like, it wasn't bad art. It was just jarring to come from Turtles.
Right, and the most impressive art to come from Ghostbusters is the ghosts themselves. They make them look way more detailed, way more menacing, bright, kind of a contrast to the Ghostbusters themselves.
Yeah, because they're kind of more simple, because they're just people.
Right.
And they're ugly.
Yes.
And you just see them doing, you know, Ghostbuster things. They're just, you know, they're getting a ghost. And like, oh, yeah, we're going to charge this guy more money because it was harder work. And then they get a call saying about something about they make a joke about, oh, I bet that machine won't go off for interdimension. And then all of a sudden the machine goes off. So, yeah, it was kind of funny.
I love their banter. I mean, it's got to be good considering where this came from. Obviously, banter was great in the movies. And I think the writers here did a damn good job with it. You got to think, too, it's like you get four guys that are together all the time. It's working what is pretty much a blue-collar job. That's how it gets. You have this funny, witty, asshole-ish banter now and then. So I love kind of what they say now and then.
Yeah, there's a lot of good banter in this, too, between them. I was surprised how much I enjoyed all the stuff they do together. And the way that everything kind of like just molds together, I really liked it.
So it's interesting because if you're purely a Turtle fan and you run into this, and like say you never even seen the Ghostbusters movies, this stuff might feel very foreign to you, being that it's another dimension and the Turtles have no idea what's going on in this place and it's new to them. You're feeling just as foreign as they are in this new dimension.
Yeah, it definitely captures that.
I also feel like it would have been very interesting. I wish we would have thought about this sooner. Not that we probably don't know anybody, but to get somebody on the Ghostbuster side of things to get their take on how they saw all this from their angle.
Yeah, I mean, you have like the other characters that are, you know, experienced and are kind of confused too, but the Ghostbusters react. I felt good to character, but yeah, it would have been nice to have someone that read the Ghostbuster comic to bring in this, but I don't know anybody. So.
Yeah, no, that would have been too, unless we dug online or somebody. But personally, yes. Yeah.
Which I did not do. Or ask people, which I did not do either. But yeah, it brings a good point, though. Like, you know, it's meant to be. And then like it has the Turtles teleport to the church, and they make the comment like, yeah, this ain't our church.
Right.
But they realize pretty quickly it's the same church, it's a different, they're in a different dimension. And I really liked how they adapt pretty well to it, considering they're somewhere else. Like, they just, you know, Donnie's like, oh, this is cool, you know, essentially.
Right. You would think he would be taking this pretty damn hard, because he's like, you got to think, like, how are we getting home? Are we getting ported here? Now we got to make a whole new teleporter or find somebody else to do it for us? Like, how the hell could they get, like, I'd be panicking if I were him.
But they handle it well, and this is where Chiyu finally escapes, and he makes comedy. He's like, I'm finally free, and he's very confused. Like, what? Where is this?
Speaking Chinese, I assume.
Oh, yeah, because they do put the little, I forget what that, they have a mark that shows he's not speaking English.
Right, and they say it here somewhere in the dialogue that he's speaking some other, Leonardo brings it up, or one of the Turtles brings it up. Mikey, yeah, right here. Mikey, do you have any idea? The floating guy is yelling about, and it's not Japanese, so he has no idea.
That was a cool touch, and I like how there's one of the people in the wedding's like, I paid extra for this that you guys said there was, you know, this was a ghost-free venue.
Right, and I just noticed this now, but I feel like these side characters have better detail than even the Ghostbusters do, which is a little odd.
Yeah, they do have good art for this. I think it's just the way they do. The Ghostbusters are meant to be very, they're different for some reason. That's just the art style they use.
I don't know.
For those, I don't get it either. But yeah, they're drawn much uglier and less, more cartoony than these characters are drawn more seriously, maybe? Where there's more lines.
Do you think this lady with the glasses is supposed to be this world's version of Irma?
Irma?
From Turtles.
It's not clicking.
She was from the cartoon.
Oh, it's been... You're talking about April's friend?
Yep.
She does look like April's friend!
She actually has the same hair and glasses. So
yeah, I was thinking that, too. It's just been... I haven't heard her name in... I can't tell you how many years.
I just looked it up now. It looks like that's what they're kind of going for.
That's cool. But yeah, no, you are right. There's much more detail on everybody else but the Ghostbusters. No, that's odd. But yeah, Chiyu comes out. Of course, the Turtles try to kick him because they're the Turtles. But everything just goes through them. And then the...
Yeah, they've seen gods that they can't remember, but they've never seen it. Well, I guess this is technically the same thing. He is a god, but also in a ghost form. Is that because he's maybe in their dimension that he shows up as a ghost?
I think it's just because of that. Yeah, he's in a different dimension and he's been, you know, stuck in a portal for so long that he's probably not in okay shape. So he's not able to take more of, because the physical, and the idea I think is that a physical form would take more effort and more energy and power than it would be to construct a ghost form.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I took it. Is that what they're going for? I can't tell you, but that's all I took it. And then you see him possess a bunch of people that don't matter. Then he possesses Casey Jones, which does matter. And the whole reason why this comic keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
But it is cool to see him take thralls. And then the very last page of the Ghostbusters break in the building and show up. And they call the Turtles Kung Fu Martians. So,
yeah, they're definitely referencing the movies at the time when they were meant to be aliens.
Oh, God, they were, weren't they, in the Michael Bay movies?
Yep, I think that's why they brought it up.
I forgot about that. I only seen those movies once each, and I don't remember them at all. I don't really want to.
You ever want to review?
I do.
That's your time.
But it hasn't happened yet. I'm trying to do TMT 2007 this year, and then I do one Turtles movie a year for some reason. So we'll see. I kind of do just because, but I just don't want to watch them either. So there's that. And that brings us to issue two. Issue two, I do want to talk about the variant cover that's on here. I'm assuming you're using the same version I'm reading. Yeah. And that variant cover where the turtles are the Ghostbusters and the Ghostbusters have the turtles' weapons and vice versa. That is
cool. That's such a cool-ass cover, man.
That is.
They did a good job on that.
And I think that must be Ray is putting on a bandana.
Looks like it.
That's just a really cool cover. And otherwise, the covers aren't, at least the first two covers aren't that, they're nothing, I mean, they're fine.
Yeah, they're decent art, but it doesn't, nothing notable, really.
Yeah. And in the first part of the second issue where you see them trying to shoot Chi-Yu with their phasers, or not phasers, but proton, and then they make a comment about, don't cross the lines.
I think they
maybe that's later.
I know they mentioned it at least a couple times.
Yeah, which is always funny to me. But I like it's funny. He's like, who are these people? And everybody's like, the Ghostbusters! I thought that was cool. It's just cool stuff. And then they turn on the turtles. They think the turtles are part of it until they realize, they're
really trying to figure out what the hell are these things. They've never seen mutants in their entire career.
They don't deal with mutants. They deal with
they don't monsters. Exist yet in this dimension. Just like turtles look at ghosts like, what the fuck are these?
Yeah, they should be more used to it, considering they're all reincarnated.
I suppose so. I mean, and they've seen their mom, so whatever.
But only
two of them have, right? But not while they're conscious awake. But have they seen any entities that they can recall?
Yes, they don't know what to expect in this case.
And Donnie's still on that bullshit, as we'll get to here.
I like how April just starts yelling at him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Venkman makes a point. Yeah, he says, why is it always the redheads who yell? Crack me up, because I feel like it's a reference to Dana in for the first movie. And Sigourney Weaver's a redhead in that.
I did notice they kind of referenced the movies a few times in this.
Which I wonder if this comic is like canon to the first two movies.
I think it is. I mean, and we'll get to one part to where it seems like it really is, but we'll get there. There's actually two parts that they mentioned the first and second movie.
That's cool, because people try to forget that second movie exists, and it's really not bad. So I also covered both the movies on this podcast too. So, but I know a lot of people complain about those movies, and they're not bad at all.
They're not. They're a product of their time, and I think they did a decent job.
It just makes me want to, makes me kind of want to read more of these and see where it goes, but it won't happen. But it does make me curious.
If your podcast is purely about comics, it might, but it's not.
No, it is not. Okay. And then let's see what else here. Okay. So you have them arguing, and then this is when they kind of joined forces with the turtles pretty quick. Well, they start realizing about who the turtles are, that they're mutants, that they came from a different New York. And I love how, because Donatello's with people who actually can understand him now. He has Ray, he has Egon. And they all just get together immediately and just start talking and going over stuff. And I thought that was really cute and really cool to see that, where, he found people of his own kind in a way. So,
yeah, especially in that many at one time, because normally it's sporadic. You get April, I guess, Collins, but then it's really Harold. Harold's the only one that Donnie has. But now he's got a whole group of them. Oh, man, this guy is like damn near in heaven.
I really like that. I like how I think it's Raphael says something to Venkman. He's like, oh, you got one of those, too, huh? He's like, we got more than one. At some point, he says it.
Right.
And yeah, I did laugh when they say their names. And then you're right. Here's the Ghostbusters 2 reference. He's like, he says that he dated somebody who was, because he uses artist name for them, too. I thought that was
funny. Yeah.
And yeah, he's like, I dated somebody who worked for, what is it? Oh, yeah, who restored art. I like that. I thought that was a cool touch. And you're right. I forgot about it until you just mentioned it. That it clicked, like, oh yeah, they do reference Ghostbusters too.
Mm-hmm.
And my quick googling while you were talking, I was trying to find out like more about this, but I didn't get very far. So I think this series turned into Ghostbusters International.
Oh, okay.
And I think that ended actually.
Is there any Ghostbusters comics still going?
I can't tell. So not that easy. I can tell that this ran 16 issues. That's not it. Very long. Yeah, I can't tell if this is still going. I mean, this is. I don't think this is even still going at the time that this came out. I think the ongoing already ended.
I think so. I mean, they had that part two that came out. It probably didn't last longer after that, I would assume.
No, because part two is 2017. But yeah, I can't really tell. I'm trying to figure it out, but it's not going very well. So we'll just move on. But I was curious. But this is, there's a couple comments they make here that really got me excited. Well, not this issue, one of the later issues where they make some comments. But like, you see the Turtles and the Ghostbusters all like line up in a panel and walk together to the car, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, we're in this spot in New York." Like, yeah, we can walk there because, you know, is there New York essentially? Same city, just different dimension.
Right. I mean, they've taken a chance though. There could be things that happen in this world that didn't happen back home, and
not to mention.
So, but hey, whatever works.
Well, they couldn't fit in the car, so they had to come up with some way to get them to where they need to go.
Right.
The car's not made to hold, you know, four mutants.
And the Turtles are much fucking wider in this dimension. You didn't notice.
I did. But at least they're not monstrous, and there's no one in the elevator going, "My shell is tight," so I was okay.
Oh, boy.
Fucking hate that movie.
Most people do, my friend.
Hey, they made two of them, so it must have been good enough.
A lot of us were desperate for a Turtles movie. We all went and saw it. Realized how much it sucked ass, and they had justification still with the money of the first one to make a second one. And after everybody knew it was going to suck ass, we saw what happened.
We didn't get a third one.
Good. I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, we didn't get another. I think we got another movie after that, Rise of the TMT.
We did, yes. But now,
okay, and then we got the one that's coming out now, soon.
Not the Michael Bay continuation, so.
Which is good.
I have not seen Rise of the TMNT, by the way.
I have not either. I haven't seen anything since the two Michael Bay movies.
That's the last ones I saw, too. I mean, we rewatched that crossover one, but that's it for me.
Oh, the Batman one?
No, Turtles Forever.
Oh, yeah, we did. That was fucking good. Which you covered earlier this year. So then you get more of Chiyu, where he's just talking to his thralls, trying to get an army, and he lets go of all the regular people. And you kind of see him turn into a bull for the first time. And I think this is supposed to be him not having as much power, that he can't control the human form.
Well, it looks like he was able to do this. Like, if you go back to the first issue, he could turn into a full-on Minotaur as the god-like figure that he is. He could normally do that. So it looks,
but I'm
like
wondering if that's his normal shape. Like the human Minotaur is him putting on a show.
It's very possible. I mean, as you see more so in with the rest of the family, that might answer some of your questions. But for him, it's a little weird. It's a little different. They'll never discuss that. They'll never like confirm it or deny it. But it seems like maybe he's trying to, maybe he's gaining power by becoming more of the Minotaur form. Okay. Maybe that is his normal form. Yeah, you could be right on that. I don't know.
That's how I just took it. I mean, that's how it felt to me. It was just kind of the feeling I got when I was reading it. So, but then this is when you see him talking to Casey. He lets go of everyone else, and he's saying he requires warriors.
And he wants to, his plan is to take over this dimension, then conquer all other ones, and get an advantage over his siblings.
Sounds like Krang, except for the sibling part, but yeah.
Yeah, not far off. And yeah, the fact that he's a demigod.
Yeah, and Krang close Krang to it, though.
He's not far off.
And then I'd really like when you have the Turtles back at the Ghostbuster headquarters, and you have Donatello wearing the hat from, I think it's the first movie. Pretty sure it's the first movie. Is that the second movie? Is that like, thing it looks like a strainer?
I cannot remember.
I can't remember either, and I just seen the second movie not that long ago. I know it from the movies, but I just can't remember if it's the first or second one. I think it's the first one. It's a cool little touch, just to have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes sense, because Donatello's at home.
Interesting brain functions.
It's just really cool to see that, like how Leo ends up connecting with Zedmore, because he's like, "Oh, you're not a, you know, you're just relaxed, unlike them." He's like, "I'm a Marine."
Yeah, each turtle ends up making a bond with one of the humans, except Mikey. Really, Mikey really doesn't bond with anybody during this whole thing.
No, April bonds with Janine, which makes sense. And I think it's funny they're both redheads.
Right, that's probably why they didn't.
Yeah, and then Kylie doesn't have anybody to bond with. I don't know who the hell Kylie is.
Yeah, she plays, Janine and her play mega side role, really backseat for the most part.
Yeah, in this, yeah. It really makes me curious about reading more of this, though. Not going to happen, but it makes me curious, that's for sure. And it's cool to see Slimer. I mean, he doesn't do anything, but you just see Slimer, and then I do like how they make comments about it, because like, why is everything in books? They're like, you can't have stuff, and, you know, because this world is different, where if you have stuff on the internet, more people are going to get a hold of it, and you're going to have, you know, summons, and you're going to have, you know, and it kind of gives it, the books have more of a purpose, too. Like, their books are possessed at times.
I don't hate their explanation. Like, at least they have explanations for this stuff. They thought about it. They took it in consideration.
And I like that. Because it also kind of fits the occult. Like, the idea of the occult stuff, especially in the Ghostbusters world, following the other movies, that you would have items that have that power, like an item. So it makes sense. And it's cool. And I did like how they get the warriors for Chiyu. He goes to the hockey arena and just takes all the hockey players.
Right.
That was kind
of
cool.
I did like somebody of intelligence confronting Donatello. Again, somebody of intelligence confronting Donatello about his lack of belief, just like Chet did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you have Ray does that, which also makes sense for Ray, because Ray is a person who believes in the occult and everything. Oh, hell, the actor does, too. That's why they made the Ghostbusters.
I think it's more Egon that
gives it. Is it Egon? Okay, that works for Egon, too. I'm trying to think. I'm just flipping through pages right now. This is when you have the hockey players get captured and all that happening. And they get a phone call about that happening at the hockey arena to go there. And it's Ray that shows them the thing they hold the ghost in, their container. I can't think of a better word. I do love the last panel of this comic, though, where you see Donnie and the ghost has the proton. He's all excited. He got a pack. I really like that.
Try that damn thing. Like, well, if anybody's going to be excited, it's going to be him.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that you're going to have a turtle do that, and he's the turtle that makes sense to do it.
Did you notice the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
I did not catch that till just now. It's on a table. That's cool. Hey, in their world, it's just a mascot.
Right.
Still love that damn first movie when that happens. He's like, "What'd you think of? I couldn't help it."
Ridiculous.
Like, Ray, what did you do? such a good movie, yeah. Such a good movie. Second one's good, too. Just not as good. And then that brings us to issue 3. This cover's a little better, but still not that great. It says Chiyu on the cover, and then Casey Jones, and he's possessed.
And it's not exciting. The only exciting part about it is it shows the old style mask. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I am just happy there's no Hun in this comic.
But it's not showing us anything we don't know. Like, we know he's possessed already since the first issue. Girls are trying to find him. Yeah. All it does is reinstate that.
It's just there to make you better.
Yeah.
So, that's all. And then when you get to, like, the first couple pages of this, there was a couple... So, they're driving in a bigger van, and I love how they make a comment, like, man, why can't we get a van like this? And then Raphael's like, what do you want, a blimp?
I love that reference.
Me too. Great.
That's... Yeah.
I mean, that's making fun of the 87 cartoon so much. it was great. I'm like, yeah, the fact's like, we get a full kitchen in here! Yeah, I mean, that's what they did in the van, I'm pretty sure, in the 87 cartoon. I mean, the toy I had would shoot pizzas out.
Yeah, where do they make those? In their kitchen.
Fucking toys.
Right in their kitchen.
Again, it was a joke purely written for the 30-year-old who's reading, 30, 40-year-old who's reading this book.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you weren't a kid when the 87 cartoon came out, you would have no fucking idea what they're talking about. But people like us got that joke because I had that damn blimp when I was a kid. So that just made me laugh, really. It made me laugh a lot. And you have Chiyu with his in the arena, and then you have Donnie who tries to use the blaster but doesn't know how to aim it. I thought that was cool. I think that they make a comment. Yeah, don't cross the streams. They make that comment again.
Well, yeah, and they're talking to a newbie, so it makes more sense for them to bring it up again.
Yeah. I just love how that's always an ongoing joke in Ghostbusters. Because the first movie, they're like, don't cross the streams! Ray, I'm crossing the stream! God, I love that movie. So it's just such a good little part. And then you have the turtles are just fighting the thralls instead, which are now turning, all the hockey players have been turned into monsters, and you slowly see Chiyu kind of turning more into his bull form, which again, I can't tell if it's him getting more power and him getting more comfortable in this world or him reverting to I think you're right.
Like it exhibits more power.
It's also cool. They almost catch him in this part. Like they were about to capture him, the Ghostbusters being the Ghostbusters, you know, they're hitting him with the photon blast, and then they are throwing the trap down. They start to catch him until he uses Casey Jones to knock the guy out.
And you see Casey actively fighting that.
Yeah.
Admits that he can't.
I like it that they show how strong Casey Jones still is. You know, that he can fight to a bit, but he can't beat it.
He's not helpless. He's doing everything he can, just like they are.
Yeah, and April's not helpless either. She's researching to help them, you know, build the transport to get back home. Like, it's just, it did a good touch of making everybody feel important. And I really appreciated that. These turtle comics are pretty good about doing that, which is nice. They don't ever make you feel like, you know, that the characters don't matter. April never feels like she got to be rescued from banana monsters that are chasing after her anymore.
So boy.
Hey, you brought up Turtles Forever earlier, so you reminded me of that stupid part. And then when it jumps back to them being back at the, you know, Ghostbusters HQ, because then they lose Chiyu, he runs away, the thralls run away, and then so they go back to their base. And I like how they're eating pizza. That made me happy.
Yeah, that was great.
Because it fits. I mean, that's what they would be doing.
And they get to try some different type of pizza now.
It's a lot of cool little stuff, and like you said earlier, all the banter is so good between them.
It is.
You know, they're like, where Mikey's like, don't they need to sleep? And I like how you have Zed Moore's like, I don't think he knows how when it comes to Egon.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that they give Donatello some more shine here, to where he's with these group of scientists and he helps them think outside the box and come up with a solution that could possibly work.
Which is great. I mean, you know, it's so nice to see Donatello with other characters like this where he can relate to, you know, in a good way. So it was nice. Like, you have a small scene with Chi Yu in somewhere in Chinatown, I guess it's supposed to be. Yeah, Chinatown, hours later, where he eats Casey Jones to absorb him, because he keeps fighting him, but eats him.
I don't know how he knows this, but it looks like it was his plan to absorb him, let him, it's like he almost gives him more power as he sits in this ghostly cocoon. And then he spits him out, and he's just like this super shredder, damn near.
You're not wrong. Yeah, it's kind of weird. So, and then they, back at the Ghostbird headquarters, shows them getting a call from Janine that there's trouble in Chinatown, so they're getting ready to go there. And I like how Mikey's like, they got to get in the car. Can I work the siren?
Oh, yeah. Loved it. That is something he would definitely do.
Uh-huh. And when you see them go off to go fight Chi Yu, because they go meet him in Chinatown, and he's completely a bull at this point. I think that's a good take, too, where they really make him into the bull monster that he is.
Mm-hmm. Things are escalating now. It's third issue, right? It was his third. Yeah, third one. So
yeah,
it should be getting to that point.
Yeah, you got to do more. And I liked it. I like how, I don't think Donatello's here yet, because Donatello, I think, stayed back, pretty sure, to work on the machine.
To work on that little pulse mechanism.
I don't, they already have the pulse mechanism, I think, for this, because they're using it to knock out some of the thralls, or maybe they're not.
Yeah, they are using it at this
point. Yeah, no, I think he's working on the transporter, because they got to leave.
Yeah, I think Leo says it here. He's known.
So I'm just kind of looking through, too.
Don and, oh, yeah, so Leonardo says, check. Don and April should stay here with you and Dr. Stance to get working on our way home. Yeah, so he's working on a teleporter with April.
Which I like that.
No, that's fine. It makes sense.
Yeah. And it's cool seeing Chi Yu is like such a demon form, and then they're, you know, they're trying to fight him, and they're, you know, I think it's Raphael is being, you know, is brazen and rushes towards Chi Yu to try to hit him with the pulse thing. Yeah, who knows? Who would expect, you know, him to act out of turn? Nobody, right?
There was a panel here where it shows the turtles in the street with the Ghostbusters, and you see the thralls all in the background, like climbing buildings and behind stuff.
That's cool.
One of them looks like Spider-Man. I was like, what the hell is Spider-Man? I was like, oh, it's a thrall.
Why is Spider-Man in this comic? Is that what you were wondering?
Yeah, like it didn't make a lot of sense. I'm like, yeah, I know he's from New York too, but okay, he's not part of this dimension.
But he would be here.
He would.
But yes, it would not make sense. And you already does look like Spider-Man in some of these panels, or in that one panel.
Yeah, it really threw me off at first. Like the big white eyes and the red and blue, it was like, and on a wall, he's like, looks like he's crawling. I wonder if they did it on purpose to kind of make it look like that. Just kind of like subtle,
probably,
like, shout out to him. I don't know, but it really did look like it for a second.
I mean, TMT was a reference to Marvel Comics, so.
Right.
I mean, the foot is a reference to the hand. I mean, the turtles are sending the same ooze that makes Daredevil. So, yeah, I mean, it's a huge reference to that. So, yeah, I'll take it. That's what they were going for. It wasn't by accident. But you get to kind of, you get to see what happened when they also, like, when they knock people, when they knock the thralls out, how they just become human, they just run away.
Yeah.
That was cool. And, yeah, this is when he spits out Casey Jones from his goo cocoon. And he does look like the super, he does look like Super Shredder in this. He's all buffed and like more armor and stuff.
Yeah, it almost looks like Darksiders 2.
Oh, okay. That's been a while since I heard that game reference, but yeah, you're not wrong. He does look like Death from that game.
Yeah, and I love the throwback to Cartoon Mask. That's pretty cool to see again.
Yeah, because you don't see it much. You just see the time that Hun gives it to him and he doesn't take it. You know, I gotta say, I really enjoyed having no Hun for a few comic arcs.
Yeah, it's nice.
I mean, I know that's gonna change when we get the Vengeance, I'm pretty sure.
But at least, yeah, it does give us a break from a lot of that. It might get too tiring if that's all we were seeing.
Yeah, I did enjoy that we're not getting that, and we're not having all that shit with Casey John that we had in that one arc that was actually pretty damn good, but still, I don't want more of it for now. So it was nice. Like, and they can't take Casey Jones. Like, they're getting their ass handed to him. But I do love how the way they do get him finally is that one, Venkman pulled out a giant, like, rocket launcher to shoot Chi Yu.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that they had this, you know, random ass tech, and then it confuses, or Casey Jones gets distracted, and I like how Raphael's like, You should know better than anyone, Case. Don't take your eye off the ball. He just knocks him out. That was cool. I really like that.
When I get back to the station, and Casey and Raph immediately start comparing dicks.
Pretty much. Where they're like, yeah, I would have beat you up. You didn't have me. Like, yep, 100%.
It's funny. That's a very, very jock thing to do. I could definitely see that happening.
I like how April comes along, and she's like, what did he say? And Raph is like, something about winning a fight with me. Don't worry, I told him he was only dreaming.
So, right.
And again, they're eating more pizza.
And they actually bring up pineapple sriracha pizza. I actually wouldn't be opposed to eating that.
I wouldn't either. And I just noticed, I'm paying attention to it now, it's actually a different pizza box than the one they had earlier.
Oh, yeah, it says UFO. The other one said Roy's.
Yeah, so, like, it also, you know, shows they're ordering pizza from different places because they can't get it back home because it's a different dimension. They're like, all right, let's try this.
Hey, man, if I love pizza, which I kind of do, by the way, but I would definitely be doing the same thing.
Oh, me too. Like, when I'm going to Boston later this year, and I can guarantee you I'll be eating different places all the time, because that's part of the fun of traveling. Yeah, I mean, this is interdimensional travel. It's even better.
Even better. I can't.
Yeah, no, pineapple sriracha pizza actually sounds really good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, I would legit try that. Like, it makes me want to get pineapple pizza, and just, I have a bunch of sriracha here. I would try it.
I mean, I like pineapple pizza to begin with. I think pineapple pizza is great.
I've had sriracha on just, like, pepperoni pizza.
I've never had sriracha on pizza. I've had sriracha on Subway sandwiches before, but that's it. My mouth
is
on fire.
Put that on, you know, yeah. Dude, it even tastes amazing, like cucumbers, for example. Like, you want a snack that's, like, not going to gain you any weight at all? Get cucumber slices, throw some sriracha on it, watch your mouth, like, light on fire, but taste great.
Let your mouth light on fire. That sounds accurate. No, I don't know. It's just really cool. Simple things. And then this is where they got Casey Jones back. I think they got the teleporter running. They're like, yeah, we're not going back till we help you, you know, defeat this ghost. Because they realized by now that Shiyu had something to do with them. Like, he was released because of them. Or at some point they figure it out. I don't remember. I don't know if they know because of Casey Jones was in his head that he's from their dimension or not. I can't remember.
I forget how that is explained. Yeah, I kind of forget how that's explained.
They might have realized they released him because, I mean, it was by them transporting dimensions is what, you know, popped him out of where he was at.
Possibly.
So maybe then
the Ghostbusters explain it, because they're the ones that would know more about it.
Yeah, somewhere it's explained, but I can't remember where. They also tell the Ghostbusters tell the Turtles they only have so much time before they have to go back because they're deteriorating, because they don't belong in this dimension, which makes sense.
And then here we get Donnie coming up with a secondary idea. For an EMP.
Oh, yeah. I like the way they react to that, too. They're like, oh, what a good idea.
What the hell are they drinking, though? I can't see the label on that.
Let me get back to that panel. I can't. They don't show. Just a can or something. My guess
is. Hey, look at the corkboard in the background. See that newspaper that says they're back? Was that not from in the second movie?
That's the second movie.
Can't believe I just caught that.
That's cool. Yeah, because in the second movie, which again is reference to the second movie, like, because they're out of business for a while, and because, yeah, they're doing birthday parties in the beginning of the second movie. They don't have any money. They were kind of fired, and then stuff happens, and the ghost problem comes back, and then they get their license back and everything. So yeah, that's definitely from the second movie. That's cool. And then you see Chiyu get all ready. He's like, okay, we're gonna go to war, and they're gonna attack the turtles. The turtles are, I think they tell the turtles they can go back home, and they're like, no, we're not going home until, you know, we're gonna help.
Well, here's where Zetamore says, you can get out of here as soon as that thing downstairs is up and running. So they don't have it yet.
Oh, okay, but they're close.
Yeah, they're getting there. He's saying that if it's up like the next couple hours, like, why don't you just get out of here? And Leo's like, pretty much saying we're honor bound here to help out because we brought Chiyu on you.
Yeah, it's probably from Casey. He says something where Chiyu's from. They realize they brought him.
Maybe.
He's, and then when
Chiyu here looking like Ganon from the first Zelda game.
Are you talking about the cover of the fourth issue?
No, just here at the last panel of the third one.
He's starting to, especially in the fourth issue in that cover, though. He really looks like Ganon with the bullhorns and everything.
Yeah.
Does Ganon have bullhorns? I guess, yeah, he does.
In Ocarina.
I mean, yeah, it's been a while since I played much Zelda. I've played those Zelda games. The last Zelda game I played is Oracle of Ages, and I'm playing Oracle of Seasons soon.
Oh, boy.
So, I'm cheating, so it's fine. But
no, yeah, you don't play it any other way.
No, you can't. Oracle of Ages, I don't know how the hell that Goron dance maybe want to made Kid Mike remember, oh, yeah, fuck this game. So, yeah.
Halfway through Ages, I stopped. Maybe one day I'll go again.
It's a good game. You just got to have a guide, and got to have save states, and you're fine.
I have both. I just still had issues with it.
A Steam Deck helped, though. I will say that. A Steam Deck really helped make that a fun experience.
That's good.
Makes all my gaming more fun. So, the fourth issue opens up with them. Let's see. Yeah, they're building the transporter. It shows Michelangelo puts on one of the jumpsuits. That makes sense, though. He's all excited.
Stretches.
It was funny, though. And then you see that the Thralls are attacking the Ghostbuster headquarters and are breaking in. And this is when the Turtles start. And you get to see Janine be cool. She has a wrist bracelet shooters or proton blast. What the hell they call it? Blasters. Just start shooting people. I thought that was really cool.
Pulse thingy.
Yes, I forget. I think it's No, I can't remember my science fiction. What they're called now. Proton packs. Yeah, it's proton pack.
Oh, yeah, she's got a wrist-mounted proton pack.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
It's not even the pulse thing that Donnie made.
So no, because that's just for the Thrall. She's just trying to use the same thing that the Ghostbusters use all the time, just to knock them back. I don't care.
Notice the Ghostbusters 2 balloon in the background?
Oh, yes, now I do. I did not catch that the first time. That's cool they did that. So yeah, this definitely takes place after the second movie then, for sure. And you see the Turtles fighting the Thralls, and they're knocking the Thralls back into humans, and Michelangelo has the jumpsuit on, of course.
Being extra ridiculous. I wish I had an action figure with that outfit, because I have the one where he dresses. You didn't read the Batman one, right?
I did, but many, many years ago. Okay. I read the first Batman.
And that one, he throws the bat suit on. So I got that figure. I wish they did this one. Maybe they did. I just don't know, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I know they did Power Rangers suit Funko Pops of the Turtles.
They also did actual NECA figures of them, too. Is it NECA? I think it's NECA figures of them. Yeah, it is NECA.
That's cool.
No, Hasbro. Hasbro.
Okay. I really got to read those damn books. That's why we're doing it soon after, because I need to read them.
I have all of them, by the way. I have the Green Ranger Shredder and also Tommy in a Foot Soldier outfit. I have all the figures for that.
Man, I regret not meeting that guy now. So I had the opportunity to, but I didn't have anything to sign. I didn't care enough. I was like,
don't we all, buddy?
That's why I'm taking a plane to Boston to go see Robert Englund, because I ain't waiting for him to drop dead on me.
Hey, that guy is up there. You might want to do that.
We already got tickets. So, yes, I'm flying across the country to go meet him. That's the main reason we're going to Boston. That's the only thing I'm going to do in Boston, but it's the main reason I'm going to Boston.
Just maybe stay away from marathons.
Stay away from what?
Marathons.
Oh, yeah, good point. I won't be going to marathons. I don't run. I did watch. There's a documentary on Netflix, by the way, about those two guys.
Yeah, I watched it all, and then I watched, and I didn't know this, but so I remember when that incident first happened, I was following it, like, live reporting. Yeah. Like, I just couldn't get enough of it. And then, so I watched all the documentary, and then I watched Patriot's Day, the movie that it's based on, and it's, like, very accurate to the real events. So if you haven't watched that, I'd say watch Patriot's Day. It's actually pretty amazing.
Okay, I never heard of it. I'll check that out.
It came out quite some time ago. It's on Hulu. Mark Wahlberg's in it, but he's not obnoxious in there. Like, they don't really focus on him too much. It's everything else that they're focusing on. So pretty interesting, man. And you'll notice, like, since you're watching the documentary, everything will be in your mind. Just pay attention to how close all that stuff is in that movie. It almost, like, if you just saw the movie, you didn't know what happened in real life, you'd almost think a lot of it's made up or bullshit, but no, it's accurate.
Okay, you got my attention. I'll check this out. I don't have Hulu right now, but I'll have to see if I can find this other ways, because that wouldn't be bad. Yeah, no, that story is really interesting. So, but yeah, no, I won't be. But I got to meet Robert Englund before it's too late for TIFF, so.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
I've kind of learned, when you get the opportunity to meet actors at conventions, just spend the money and meet them. Like, if you're interested, just do it, because you never know. And with him, it really kind of hit me like that.
Hey, at least I got to meet the Red Ranger. Who's that?
Yeah. The Black Ranger is coming to a convention that I'm next month near here that I might go to.
That'd be cool. I'd meet him if I had the chance.
The only one I really want to meet is Billy, the Blue Ranger.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind meeting all the rest of the originals if I had the opportunity.
Well, the girl who played... Oh God, what's the name of the little robot? Alpha 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to be here. So, all right, back to Turtles. So, we got a little sidetrack there. So yeah, see Chiyu comes into the place and kind of starts screwing with them too, using his psychic powers and stuff. I think it's
mind control.
Oh, and then they do the EMP, because yeah, Casey Jones comes out where he is and uses the EMP on them, which is what takes them out.
Yeah, because they're ready to do it. It's all set up, ready to go, and Chiyu stops them, and that's when Casey gets kind of his revenge on the guy.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, that makes sense. And then it's during that when they're able to they get the transporter up, and then they're able to capture Chiyu in a trap after a bit of fighting. Oh yeah, because Leo throws a trap in between above them, above the two Ghostbusters in the doorway, and he's like, "Yeah, we're good at it takes aim. A 6-inch gap might as well be a mile."
With his ninja aiming ability. Oh no, not his ninja raft. I don't know if that would have helped anything at this point.
Go ninja, go ninja, go. You didn't need Vanilla Ice in the background singing, go ninja, go ninja, go.
Yeah, I listened to that actually as I was reading this last issue. I have a Turtles playlist and that's on there. So.
There's T-U-R-T-L-E power on there too.
Sure the hell is.
God, that music's good for something. It's so bad, but it's good.
So bad, it's good.
I really enjoyed this. Like, I like how they capture him and they all work together. The turtles are helping. Like, you know, it's a good combination to show them trying to beat Chiyu. And then instead, oh, yeah, they don't. I think they're about to capture him. They almost capture him. And then he possesses Winston.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens. And during the whole time, Egon and Donatello are downstairs working on the teleporter.
If you notice, he's holding up a lighter and you see Winston pretty much transforming in front of their eyes, but then you see the shadow of Chiyu in the background.
Oh, that I didn't catch that. That's cool. And the thing that he says when he captures Zedmor is like, now this is a warrior's body, a body that has faced gods, a body worthy of a conqueror. That's cool. They have faced God, and
it gets really dangerous because in this warrior body, you can see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. He's turning him into a Minotaur.
Mm-hmm.
with a proton pack.
And they almost got him with that damn goo.
Which is also a reference to Ghostbusters 2.
Ghostbusters 2. That's one of the other references I was referring to.
Yeah, because he beat the shit out of the turtles, the few turtles that are fighting him, and then Mikey shoots him with the goo, and then that's what finally starts to get them separated. Yeah, it gets them starting to get them separated, and then they throw the trap.
And that is the same design I remember from that second movie of that gun.
Mm-hmm. It's also in the Ghostbusters game. I forget what year that comes out in, but yeah. Which is essentially the third movie at the time it was supposed to be.
Pretty much. That's another game I had on PS4, and then I got rid of it. Fuck.
It's a good game.
I played a bit of it, but not enough. And I didn't have it long enough before I sold it.
Well, there's always Steam.
Yeah, I got it on the wish list. If it ever drops super low, I'll probably get it.
Or other ways.
Well, there's that too. But, I mean, seeing stuff like this piques my interest again.
Same. It makes me want to play some of the other Ghostbusters stuff and watch the 2016 movie someday.
I need to watch that eventually.
Same, because I already hear people talk shit about it. I'm like, I should really watch it.
Actually, the few people I've known that have seen it, they actually didn't mind it. They said it was actually kind of decent.
So I'm very curious about it. Oh, so they finally, they get Chiyu in the trap, and then they finally, they get the teleporter up, and that teleporter is fucking huge. It looks huge, and all the turtles go home. Okay, no, never mind, nothing. Yeah. Just the way that panel's drawn.
Yeah, it's big. Yeah, they're in the background.
And I like how Zedmor gives Leonardo some badges. Like,
yeah, that's actually a kind of a pretty military thing to do. Like, I have friends in the Navy, and they give like coins or patches and stuff like that, like to me and some other friends of mine. So that is kind of a realistic thing.
Okay, that's cool. And they go through it, and then after they go through it, and they go see Splinter again, and then at the same time, the Ghostbusters then throw the trap in there too. And then it shows that the trap lands in the same dimension. He's like, I can feel that my family is nearby. Yeah. It's cool how like it introduces Chiyu and then it puts Chiyu back where he needs to be. Because you need him to be back in the regular world again. In their world.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And that's the end of the book. So that'll bring us to... Any last things you want to say before we go into Shelf Stacker Box?
No, I think that's it. Okay.
We'll go to Shelf Stacker Box. I'll go first. I'm going to put this on the shelf. I actually really enjoyed this. This was a lot of fun to read. It wasn't what I expected, but I left very amused and happy and very glad that I read this thing. So it was nice. It was a nice change of pace, and it was a really, really interesting crossover I didn't think I needed nor wanted, but I did enjoy. If I wasn't just so excited for Vengeance, I think I would have enjoyed this more. So, but definitely going to go on the shelf. What about you?
Before I read it again, I might have stacked it, but revisiting it, I learned to appreciate, especially from what I see later on in the series too, I actually learned to appreciate it a lot more. I would actually put this on the shelf. And like, if you would have put this on a drawing board in front of me, like, all right, what can we combine with Turtles to make something interesting? Like, what other IP do we want to merge with them? And somebody would have put up TMNT and Ghostbusters on the board. I would have gave it a thumbs down off the bat. Like, well, I'm not interested. And then they found a way to make this interesting, fun, a good time, and don't make you regret detouring from the grand scheme of things. So they pulled it off.
Yeah, which is impressive. You know, it was a lot better than I expected.
Really, like, think about it. These two IPs just don't sound right together. But they found a way to do it.
But I guess when you own what you own, you gotta do what you can do.
Right.
No, and Turtles crossed over with everything, I'm noticing, so
Don't wait till we get some of the other crossovers. This is good. This is definitely good. Some of those other crossovers, great.
And the next Turtles thing we'll be doing will be Attack on Technodrome, which you guys will hear at some point, which I can't wait. Because we're so close.
Oh, you're counting down.
I am, but I've also been really excited for Attack on Technodrome since I first saw it in these list of arcs. So I've been excited for it for a long time. So I'm looking forward to reading it.
Until we start reading it, I don't remember it. So there's that.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, you read these back when they were coming out, weren't you, kind of?
A little bit after that. It was pre-COVID for sure, but it wasn't like right as they were coming out.
Okay. Pre-COVID can feel like 10 years ago, even though it's not, because this is 2023. Oh, I guess the pandemic is officially over, supposedly, people say. So
I thought it was already like a while ago.
Yeah, well, Tiff was still wearing stuff in her job. She had to wear masks for a while, till recently. Well,
a lot of places I go to for my job, still wearing a lot of masks.
Yeah, because even when I looked online, it said it's not over. But people, I don't know, someone said that to me, like, oh, it's over. I'm like, is it? Okay. Like, we've had that mindset for a while. Yeah, oh, that's what, weird. Okay, that's what, there's a bill signed that ended the COVID-19 national emergency. Okay. Here, we're just going to date this podcast, that's all. Because you won't hear this in May, you'll hear this, I don't know when, but you'll hear this at some point. So now you know when we recorded this. Ta-da. Oh, and if you want to hear more Ghostbuster stuff, we did cover the two movies, we did cover the game. You can find everything on Podbean. Just go on Podbean, type in Turtles, type in TMNT if you want to hear all our comic episodes that we've been going through the whole Turtles run so far, and everything's in order. So go listen to those if you haven't yet, if you're not caught up. And if you want to hear more Ghostbuster stuff, go check those out too. We have over 450 other episodes of just content that we have made on this podcast. You can find everything on Podbean. If you want to support the show, we do a Patreon for a little dollar. You can vote in our Patreon poll. You'll see a link in the show notes. We also have a Discord. You can join our Discord and chat with us. And want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro courtesy of Helena at Hell Half Sphere. You can follow her on TikTok. And want to give a shout out to my buddy Bill Tucker. He's got his own podcast, The Gamer Looks at 40. Definitely go check him out too. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and on YouTube. Audio only, but everything is on YouTube, so subscribe to us there. And that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.